Thanks, Braden. Good evening. Welcome this evening. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's quite cool outside. I had a blessing this morning opening the bulletin, and if you see the little part down the bottom of the bulletin, a little saying there, and the saying for this morning's bulletin was this. It says, when you feel like drowning in an ocean of stress, remember the Saviour walks on the water. Amazing, isn't it? And you know, tonight, I'm going to look at that very passage. And the Lord's good, the Lord knew. And so if you turn in your Bibles tonight to John chapter 6, we're going to give the series in David a break tonight. And the Lord laid on my heart this passage. And the Lord has something here for us this evening. John chapter 6. And while we're turning there, let's just pray and let's just commit this time to the Lord. Let's pray. We thank you, dear Lord, for bringing us all here this evening to your house on your day. And Lord, we thank you for this time where we can come and open your word. And Lord, we pray tonight that your Holy Spirit will illuminate new truths out of your word to us. And Lord, that there'll be something here for everyone tonight. We pray you'd speak to each and every heart as you've spoken to mine. And we pray that you'll be with us this evening in our meeting. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And I've entitled tonight's message, Miracles in the Trial. Miracles in the Trial. In the first part of this passage, we find Jesus in his early earthly ministry with his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. And in this passage, in the first part of it, we find Jesus feeding the 5,000 with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. I believe most of us would have heard this story in Sunday school or in church. It's a very common, well-known story. Even people who haven't been to church have heard of the feeding of the 5,000. And the part I want to look at is after the feeding of the 5,000, we see the next part of the story in the passage. And the great thing about as we look at the Gospels is that we have the Gospels, and many of the stories in the Gospels are repeated in the other Gospels, which gives us a different perspective of the story. In this particular story here, we also find the story in Matthew 14 and in Mark chapter 6. One author always backs up the other, and their stories just come from a different perspective, which is an amazing viewpoint. It's an amazing thing to get the perspective of the story. And so tonight, while I want to look at John 6, I will look at some other verses from these other passages that just clarify different parts of the story. And so we see, we start tonight after Jesus had fed the 5,000 and they'd gathered the 12 baskets. We see in verse 15, it says this, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. After the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus, he had thought that they would come and take him. He'd fed all these people. They were looking for a leader, and he thought that they would come and take him by force and make him the king. And Matthew also records the same thing. And in Matthew 14:23, it says this, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. There's a lot we could look at tonight in the first part of that on the subject of prayer and the importance of prayer. But tonight I would like to keep going and look at the next part of this passage. And the next part of the passage starts at verse 16, and it says this, and when even was now come, or when it was the sun was setting, his disciples went down unto the sea. I've got short points this evening, so you'll be able to stay with me. I'm not going to go very long, so please hang in there. We're going to look at miracles in the trial. And the first point is, it's a point I've called sunset sailing. Now, it wasn't always like this. It's certainly not going to stay like this, but that's how it starts off. The disciples went down to the sea and got into the boat. Now, we know where we are when it says the sea. If we look back at verse 1 of John 6, it says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. The Sea of Galilee is where Jesus was. It's the Sea of Galilee is an interesting place. It's a freshwater lake in Israel. It's the lowest freshwater lake on earth. It's the second lowest lake in the world after the Dead Sea. It's 200 metres below sea level. And if you get a picture, I just want to give you a picture of the size of this lake, because we're going to be looking at this in detail. It's 53 kilometres to go right the way around it. It's 21 kilometres long and 13 kilometres wide. It covers 166 square kilometres at its fullest point. Its maximum depth is approximately 40 metres deep, so it's not very deep. It's partly fed by an underground spring, but its main source is the River Jordan. And we read of the River Jordan many times in the Bible, in Jesus' ministry. And so it's a very, the Sea of Galilee in Jesus' ministry was a very special place. And it's where Jesus and his disciples spent a lot of their time around the Sea of Galilee. And it tells us, if we have a look here, that his disciples entered into a ship. Now, if we have a look there, and when even was come, in verse 16, his disciples went down unto the sea, and he entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. Jesus' disciples had set sail for Capernaum right on dusk or evening time, the time when the sun is setting. If we look at Mark's version of these events, there's an interesting point here. He was only the one who records where Jesus had told them to go. If you look over with me at Mark chapter 6 and verse 45, we see the same story, only it's over in Mark. If you can't turn there, I'll read it to you. It says this, and straightway he, being Jesus, constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go unto the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent the people away. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. Jesus had constrained his disciples to go in the ship over to Bethsaida. But where were they heading? They were heading over to Capernaum. Now, both these towns are relatively in the same direction across the Sea of Galilee. They're about 7 or 8 kilometres apart, though, on the other side. Capernaum is closer, where Bethsaida is further across to the top side of the Sea of Galilee. And so we see that the disciples get into the boat right on dusk and they head across the Sea of Galilee. And so we find them in the middle of the Sea of Galilee when it gets dark. Now, this wouldn't have been anything unusual to the disciples. Many of them were fishermen. And remember that when the Lord called some of them, they were fishing. And so this would not have been an unusual to them to be out on the lake at night. But in John 6 and verse 17, it says, and it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. So they were in the middle of this sea, it had gotten dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them yet. And it says in verse 18 here, and the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. I've called my second point the severe storm, the severe storm. The sea arose. Matthew says in his account, in Matthew 14:24, it says, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary unto them." The disciples are there in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and the wind has blown up a storm, and the waves have started to rise, and the wind was blowing straight against them. It was blowing against the way they were headed. It was contrary unto them. I was thinking at this point, if you put yourself in the shoes of the disciples, how they would have felt. The disciples had been in ministry with Jesus all day. They'd helped to hand the food out to feed the 5,000. They had gathered the 12 baskets of food left over. The multitudes were thronging the Lord, and they'd entered into a boat, and Jesus had sent them across the sea, possibly to their next point of ministry, and the wind blows, and the wind is contrary to them. The waves are big, and now they are starting to row. They're in the dark. Why did Jesus allow this to happen? Why would the Lord send them out into the Sea of Galilee, into the middle of the sea, knowing that it was going to have a storm? You can wonder what they were thinking if you put yourself in their situation. They are now in a storm and they are fearful. Do you know, the Lord sometimes, I believe, sends us into these storms to test our faith. I believe that sometimes the master potter sends us into these storms to mould us into the person he wants us to be. Sometimes I believe in our trials it's dark and we can't see our way, and we sometimes fail to see the whole reason for the trial. We can't see our way out. This is when we need to focus our eyes on the Saviour. But why did God allow this trial for these disciples? Why did he allow it? I believe Mark has the answer. In his record of the end of this, in Mark 6:52, he says these words. Mark says, "For they," being the disciples, "considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." The disciples' hearts, Mark says, he had become hardened. They were with Jesus all the time. They were there with the Lord, and yet their hearts had become hard to these things from seeing them all the time. Oh, that the Lord would give us soft hearts to his word and to his leading in our lives. And then when we are in the trial, we will be able to see the reason we are in the trial. We'll be able to see the Saviour through the trial. The third point I've called the seeing Saviour. The seeing Saviour, because he knows we are in the trial. The Lord knows. And Mark records this in Mark 6:48. It says, "And he," being Jesus, "saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them." How can this be? It's dark out there. They can't see themselves. Yet it says here that he saw them toiling in rowing. Do you know the Lord sees us in our trials? He is there with us in our trials. And he was there with the disciples in their trial. He was not there in person, but he was there with them. He saw them. Jesus is all places. And remember, in your time of trial, the Lord, for those of us that know the Lord is with you in that trial. Jesus saw them in the trial. And it says in the next part, "And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea." John 6:19 says, "So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid." The sight of Jesus walking on those waves would have made them fearful. They wouldn't have been able to see who he was to start with, but they could see a figure walking towards them on the water. Jesus that day walked to them on the water. Those waves and the storm had no power over him. What a miracle, the Lord walking to them on the water. Do you know, if you or I tried to go and walk on water, we would go straight to the bottom, wouldn't we? Do you know, I want to tell a small story. Many years ago, when I was younger, a lot younger, I and Michelle were swimming with some of the youth group. That tells you how long ago it was. We were like real young back then, part of the youth group. And we were at Coffs Harbour, and we're at a beach called Diggers Beach. We used to go to quite a bit and swim. And I suppose there was 10 of us there swimming and body surfing and just, you know, having a good time there on the beach. And I believe that day, it was quite a big swell that day. We were having a lot of fun body surfing the waves. It was running about 3 metres, and Shell and I were just swimming and catching waves, and we didn't realise, but we were getting drifted across the beach, and it wasn't very long before we were sort of sucked into a rip. And myself, I'm not a great sea person, and Shell was a lot stronger swimmer than I was. And if you know what it's like to be in a rip, it's sort of like being in a washing machine. The water's going backwards and forwards, and because you're getting sucked out, the waves just keep coming over you, and you just come back up from being pummeled by that wave, and then the next one's on top of you. It's hard to get your breath. And I really got to the stage, I thought this was it. I didn't think I was going to make it back to the shore. Shell was quite different. She was very relaxed and that in that sort of in the environment of the ocean. And so Shell said, "No, we just got to float and just let it go wherever it's going to take us." And so we took us all the way out the back, probably, you know, 400 or 500 metres, and then it washed us up on another beach. And but when I got there, I was very glad to put my feet back onto the solid ground. The feeling of helplessness in the water there, it doesn't leave you, that feeling. And do you know that I was only thinking about the Lord walking on the water. He has the power over the water. The water doesn't have that feeling for our Lord. And so often our feeling in the trial of helplessness can overcome us. Our feeling in the trial that whether we're going to get through it or not can overcome us. But you know, Jesus is walking on the water, and he's there with us, ready to take our hand and to lift us up. He wasn't tossed about with the waves as we are. He wasn't tossed about with the circumstances we are, and he's there with us. He just walked up to the disciples' boat. And if you see verse 21, I love this verse. It says, "Then they willingly received him into the ship." They were glad to see the Lord. You know, just as I was glad to see land that day, these disciples were glad to see the Lord. So many times in the trial, it can seem like it's just not ending. It's never going to end. The disciples were glad to see the Lord, but he was already with them. He was already with them in the trial. As in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, it says, "For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." The Lord is always with us, for those of us that know him. He's with us in the trial, just as he was with the disciples. And it says in Mark 6, Mark records this, "And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered." As soon as Jesus entered into the ship, the boat, the wind ceased. Matthew records it like this. Matthew says, "And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased, and they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God." This is why they had the trial. This is why God had sent the trial, so that others could see Jesus, so that others could come to know Jesus. Obviously, there were more in the ship than just the disciples. The Lord revealed himself to them all through the storm. Not only him walking on the water, but then when he entered the ship. The next part of the story only John records, and it's in John 6 and verse 21. And I'd like to see this point. It says, "Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went." You think about this. There was some Sea Galilee, the Sea of Galilee speed records broken that night, wasn't there? It says immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Do you see that's another miracle? We sometimes look at the miracle of Jesus walking on the water and we think that's it, but there's more. There's more to it. The ship straight away was at the land whither they went to. Jesus also knew where they were heading. Can you see that part? It says in the last part, "Immediately the ship was at the land whither they went." Jesus knew where they were headed to. Can you imagine the surprise of the disciples when straight away from the center of the Sea of Galilee they stepped out of the boat at Capernaum? Can you imagine the disciples' faces seeing that? As I was thinking about this point, and I was thinking about where Jesus had told them to go to Bethsaida, it's sort of the same direction. But they did actually get off the boat at Capernaum. We find that later on. I wonder if Jesus was with you where you were heading and straight away you got there, would the Lord be pleased? I wonder if, Christian, if the Lord Jesus was there as you are on your phone and you're looking at that site on your phone, would he be pleased? I wonder if you are there on the internet and you're looking at something on the internet and the Lord was right there, would he be pleased? He is there. The Lord says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Christian, what are we looking at? Where are we heading? Where are we going? Does it please the Lord? I believe in this situation, I believe the disciples were honourable in where they headed because the Lord never says anything about it. They were in ministry. Maybe they thought there was a greater ministry at Capernaum than Bethsaida. I don't know. Maybe they thought it was faster to get to. Whatever the situation, Jesus took them whither they went, where they were headed to. They arrived. I wonder tonight, as we look at the trial here and we see these miracles in the trial, I wonder, are we looking for the miracles? Are we looking for the miracles? Jesus is there with us in the trial, and the miracles are more than what we can really see. Do you know, David wrote these words in Psalm. He said, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. The Lord, he's with us, no matter where we are. No matter where we are in a trial, no matter where we are going, no matter what we are doing, the Lord is there. He promises to be with us. We have to look for the miracles. If you are going through trials tonight, remember the Lord is there with you. Remember our Lord walked on the water. Remember our Lord took the disciples out of that trial and put them on the land straight away. Our Lord took them to where they were going to go. Why did God allow this trial to come? The disciples' hearts had become hard towards these miracles. They didn't see the miracle. Amazing miracle of the feeding 5,000 with a small boy's lunch. God had to put them in the storm so that they would see the miracle. I wonder tonight, are we in the storm? Have we been in the storm? God wants to show us the miracles. God wants to show us, he wants to show himself to us. We just need to focus on the Lord Jesus. Focus on the Lord. To be soft to his word and to his leading in our lives. That is the point of the trial. We just need to see the miracles. Let's pray.